Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Thanks for joining us on Family Talk today. I'm Roger Marsh, and you're about to hear the second half of a recent dialogue that Dr. Dobson had with his friend and colleague, former Congressman Bob McEwen. Now, if you missed yesterday's program and the first half of their conversation, you will definitely want to go listen to that encouraging program, and you can find how to do that by visiting drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Now, Dr. Dobson and Bob McEwen will be picking up right where they left off yesterday. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Dr.'s guest today. Bob McEwen is the executive director of the Council for National Policy. He was elected to represent Ohio for 6 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives beginning in 1980. During his congressional service, Bob McEwen served as a special presidential envoy for both Presidents Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, and as a U.S. representative to the European Parliament. Bob was also appointed to the 1776 Commission by President Trump. Bob McEwen and his wife Liz have 4 children and 9 grandchildren. In just a moment, Bob will be elaborating on some of the principles, including prayer and equality, that the Founding Fathers held to as they wrote the Declaration of Independence and later the Constitution. He and Dr. Dobson will also describe what some people are doing to try to tear down those principles and the responsibility that parents have to teach their children the truth. Let's join Dr. Dobson and Bob McEwen right now as Bob shares a few of the things that make America great.
There's a little place on the globe. Only 4% of the population of the world live there. They are the people that have the highest privilege to call themselves Americans. And that little 4% every year write more books, more plays, more symphonies, more copyrights, more inventions than the other 96% combined. I was standing on a street corner a couple of weeks ago with some folks in Ukraine, and we just saw an airplane go over, and we point out the fact that that airplane is there because that 4% Americans invented the airplane. And you see the tires, they land on a landing strip. Those tires, the vulcanization process developed by Charlie Goodyear from Akron, Ohio, developed by Firestone, Americans invented the tires. And inside the airplane, it's cool. Fortunately, because there's a wonderful thing that was invented called air conditioning by Willis Carrier. And there are lights you see flashing on that airplane. And those lights are because an American invented the light bulb. And it's flying on a course of a global positioning system that the entire planet is dependent upon. If you're parking a ship in Singapore or Hong Kong or flying an airplane over the Andes in South America, you use a global positioning system conceived and invented and maintained by Americans. If you want to cheat, if you're some country and you take over Brunei or something and you want to inflate the currency and make false accusations against various nations, there is one nation on the earth that stands for righteousness and stands to keep the financial system secure. That's only America. If a yacht is attacked in the Caribbean or in the South Pacific, 70% of all the maritime traffic, of all the goods and services on the entire planet, go through the South China Sea. Who prevents them from being raided? Who prevents them from being attacked? If China is the strongest nation on earth, it can say, I don't want any oil going to Israel, and there's no one that could stop them. But because America, these good people, these Americans, maintain the sea lanes of the world, then people can live in peace and prosperity. No nation has ever blessed the world the way this nation does.
Talk about the Constitution and how it was formed and why it is still so critical today.
Well, what happened was America was formed, or it got its independence. And then it had just a handful of countries, 13 countries, had their own foreign policy, their own currencies, and it wasn't working real well. And so 11 years after the Declaration had declared their independence, they met back in the very same room in which they had signed that Declaration and changed the world for all time. And let me just divert just for a moment here, because there's an effort to take down our founders, because if I can diminish the founders, then you don't respect what they say. And so what those people did was they, prior to that day, Prior to July 4th, 1776, slavery was ubiquitous all over the world, everywhere. After July 4th, 1776, those 56 men changed the planet forever. And after that day, slavery has been anathema. And they turned the corner during their lifetime from the circumstances they began until the end. And now there's still slavery. 94 of the 200 countries on Earth still permit slavery.
Even some of those founders had slaves.
They had slaves at the time,
yeah.
And they changed it during their lifetime. That's why we honor them. The United States is the one that began the effort to stop it. And indeed they did. And they put in that Constitution. They wanted to end it immediately, but they couldn't do it immediately. One thing they could do was give land in the Northwest Territory. They said there could be no slavery there. They said that you can't end the slave trade for 20 years, which would be 1787, 1797, 1807. So the United States was the first nation, and an act of Congress signed by President Thomas Jefferson to end the slave trade. You couldn't bring any more slaves after that period had, and we began a course of excellence for the rest of the world. And this little spot of nothing, a bunch of poor people, then built the greatest nation in the history of the world. Since that time, the rest of the world has recognized and begun to follow along behind it. In fact, we didn't even have a navy, but we put some ships together to, along with the British, to try to stop the slave trade from coming from Africa. The Africans were selling people into the slave trade all over the world. Slavery didn't make America because we stopped it. There was slavery going on still for years and years in the Caribbean. 10 times as many slaves landed in Brazil as landed in North America. If slavery made you rich, then that would certainly do it. That's why the 1776 Commission wants to get back to the facts, because if people don't know the truth, then they'll fall for this thing. But you mentioned as the Constitution got together, and as they tried to meet, they couldn't agree on anything. And slavery was part of it, because that meant that they would have to, if you're going to join the country, you're going to have to go out of business. And so that's why they had that transition period. Another one was that half the people lived in 3 states. Half the people lived in 10 states. Now, there's no way around that. Little states aren't going to be dictated by the big and vice versa. And so as they're about to fall apart, George Washington's next-door neighbor, George Mason, had given up. And so he gets in his carriage and starts to leave. Washington walks along beside him all the way to the edge of Philadelphia, asking him to stay. And so they go back to this room now called Independence Hall. It was the state house for the state of Pennsylvania at the time. And a fellow by the name of Benjamin Franklin asked to speak. He was the oldest man there, one of only 4 in the room that had signed the Declaration 11 years before. The most respected man in the world, by the way, greatly admired around the globe. And he asked to speak, and he got up and he said, "I am an old man, but one thing that I have learned is that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall without his notice, is it probable that an empire could rise without his aid?" And then he said, now this isn't 200 years later, this is 11 years later. He said, "Have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need him?" And so then he goes on and makes a couple of more comments, and then proposes that beginning from then on, that they first call upon the source of wisdom, that they begin each session with prayer. Met back the following Monday morning for 3 hours on their knees, and then over the next 5.5 weeks, they wrote the Constitution of the United States of America, creating the oldest government on the planet. People came here hoping for one thing. They didn't have a bloodline, that they had property or under the feudal system. They came here to form a capitalist system where you could work hard and produce something, and you were treated equally based upon how you blessed other folks. This nation that has been based upon those godly principles has been the blessing to the entire planet. That if you're being attacked and your freedoms are being stolen in Hong Kong, what do? You grab the symbol of the United States of America and you wrap yourself in a flag, because that stands for liberty and hope and opportunity. If you're being abused on the streets of Havana, what do? You get an American flag. They know where freedom is. Freedom is where the American flag is. And there is a political effort to take down America, to abuse its flag, to destroy its birth, and that's why you and I are here recognizing that this lighthouse for the gospel, 85 cents out of every dollar that goes for the cost of global evangelism, comes from this 4%. We're the most generous in the world. This is the lighthouse for the gospel. The scripture says if you take a city, you must bind a strong man. There's only one strong man in the world. It's the United States of America. You take down America, the rest of it is a piece of cake. You can steal off any steamer in the South China Sea. You can inflate any currency you want to. You can cheat on the copyrights of any book or any patent. The world will go into chaos if you can just take down America. And you and I watch it on the news every day of those who tear down our statues, who spray paint and shout at those who favor America. When they see the flag, they spit on it and stomp on it rather than revere it. And that's the battle in which we're engaged. It always has been that way, and we will continue to win.
It really breaks my heart that that message is not being heard. I think of the mothers and fathers who are listening to us today who have kids in either elementary school, junior high, high school, and certainly college, who are saying, if my son or daughter could only hear that message, it would change their lives and change their hearts. But they're not hearing it because it's suppressed and it's mocked and it's vilified and God is forgotten. I don't know if we can survive if we forget that basic source of all truth. And that's the Bible of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
We can't.
How are we going to regain what we're losing every day?
First of all, we cannot become weary in well-doing. If Paul was sitting there in the dungeon, he had reason to be depressed. But nevertheless, he did what God called him to do. And we're called to be faithful. We're called to train our children. And for parents that are frightened to do that, let me just tell you, you had reason to be frightened about becoming a mother or a father, having never done it before. That can be complicated. Training them to say their multiplication tables and to read the history of the United States is infinitely easier than being a mother or father. You were made to do this. You have all the equipment to do it. And as we do that, to teach them respect for their church, for God, and for country, then we can preserve this last and greatest hope on earth.
Bobby, your kids are now grown, and there are four of them, and you have nine grandchildren. If you were younger and your kids were still at home, would you be homeschooling them?
There's no question about it. We homeschooled one of our sons at his request. He is a twin, and his sister was the homecoming queen, the prom queen, and yet he, same parentage, same upbringing, you know, floundered in that environment. And he asked to be homeschooled, and we did it. And I remember a particular day in which we were working on a little bit of math, and I could sense in his body that he was getting tense. And I reached over, I put my hand on his arm. I said, Robert, I said, I'm not going any place. I said, you're going to get this. If we don't get it today, we'll get it tomorrow. If we don't get it tomorrow, we'll get it next week. And you just feel the tension go out of his body. And that is that you can't learn when you're being attacked for being ugly and stupid and your parents are this and that. And why we put our children through these meat grinders is just so pathetic when you see what they put up with. And the opportunities to fix it are available, and you know your children. So if you do that, you'll find out it can be so much more easily done. It'd be better for peace at home and your family, and infinitely better for the country.
More and more parents are taking that option, aren't they?
They are, and there's access for them, places that they can go to find aid. And I would just encourage them to do that, because it's frightening if you look at it in the abstract for some. But once you've done it, it's not that difficult, and you bond and you grow together, you make a family.
Bob, I'm so proud of the homeschool movement. It actually started on Focus on the Family in a radio program that I did in 1981. From that, this movement has come, and I just saw the statistics from last year, 2020, that during the pandemic, it revealed that 1 in 11 families in America have at least one child being homeschooled.
And that's just taking off.
Isn't that incredible?
And the sad part is so many kids have fallen behind. The only way they can catch up is by having one-on-one time with their parents. But the people in the neighborhood that know how to do these things are forming these pods where a handful of two or three mothers will get together, and one will do geography and another will do history. The children love it. The families love it. The neighborhood loves it. And America will benefit.
You know, in that program last time, you quoted John Adams and his understanding of why a democracy, or better yet, a republic like ours, could not continue to exist without the Christian faith. He was homeschooled, and so were nearly all of the great men, the founders. They were homeschooled in those days. There were no public schools. It is possible to grow highly intelligent, educated people without a public school setting. Parents have lost control of their own children, and what they're being taught contradicts what they're being taught at home, and there is a better way.
They're telling little girls that they can be a boy. They're telling little boys that they might be
a kindergarten
girl.
Age.
In kindergarten. And then they teach them this critical race theory. They're teaching that because of your skin color, which is the antithesis of America. America looks upon the heart just as God does. America doesn't care what your skin color was. But there was a political movement that political party was dedicated to slavery. It fought a war to complete slavery. It fought Jim Crow to make laws that offended people based upon race. We've stomped it in the ground repeatedly. And let me just tell you, Jim, this idea that America did these various things, America never was racist. America isn't racist now. There are racists, and in that political party, they like to talk about Rosa Parks. Let's talk about Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was a black woman that was told to sit in the back of the bus in Birmingham, Alabama. That bus was run by the National City Bus Company of Chicago, Illinois. They ran buses in 38 cities in 16 states. They wouldn't mistreat their customers. But the Democrat City Council of Birmingham, Alabama, said that if they wanted to have the contract in order to have the franchise for buses in Birmingham, they had to make black people sit in the back of the bus. Now, when they said that, they needed one person to say, you can't do that to me, because when you do it, you go to court. And when the court says, well, you can't do that, that's the end of it. Now, they have that in every school book, that's what America did to black people. No, it didn't. One political party did. One political party mistreated people based upon their skin color. And one political party at this very moment, in the year 2021 and beyond, are instituting little five-year-olds to stand up and say, because of your skin color, you are either an oppressor or oppressed. My good friend Ben Carson, we've been together twice this week, and we'll begin next week. Dr. Ben Carson, one of the smartest minds in the history of the world. He did something nobody else could ever do. He separated two brains, and both of them came out healthy. And it took a day and a half. You couldn't take a breath. You couldn't lay down. You couldn't sleep. You had to keep doing it for 36 hours. That man, based upon his skin color, as a five-year-old, would now be told that he couldn't do that, that this was an oppressive nation. Well, it's not. It's not a racist nation. There are a racist political party that is imposing it in the school systems by getting teachers to do that to your children, and that's why we say we have to put an end to it. And the final thing is, you're supposed to pray for those in authority. You cannot pray for a person you don't know who they are. And every person listening to this program should find out today who are the members of the school boards of the school district in which they live, because they choose the superintendents, that choose the teachers that do this to our children.
You mentioned CRT. We've done radio programs fairly recently trying to help people understand what that stands for and what's going on there. I'm still sad to say that most people do not understand it, and in fact, it is spreading across the country even as we speak. Put it in simple words. What is CRT?
They sell it as critical race theory. That's what the teachers teach it as. But it's a communist race theory, because communism said that there were oppressors and the oppressed. The oppressors were people who owned capital. They were the people that owned the factory. And the oppressed were the people that worked in the factory. And that's what they thought capitalism would be when they wrote it in the 19th century. Well, they found out it's entirely the opposite, that the wealthier you become, the more you paid. Henry Ford paid $5 a day when anybody would work in the country for $2.50 a day. He paid twice as much. That's why the people that the communists always hoped would overthrow the government, they have a boat and a camper and a pickup, and they love America. So they had to find something to divide, and economically it wasn't going to work. And so they landed upon race. So we're going to divide it by race. We're going to break them into tribes. But the tribe of black and white, that's not big enough. So what we're going to do, beginning in 1976, we're going to create a new class called Hispanic, or Chicano at the time. And we're going to have these people that you don't, they're just Americans, but we're going to break them out. Until now, they have all these different groups, and it's critical race race theory, and they have intersectionalism. And so, therefore, if you're a woman, you're oppressed. If you're a black woman, you're oppressed more. If you're a black lesbian woman, then you have 3 points. And it's a communist effort around the globe in order to divide people so that they can have power and control. It's the mirror opposite of everything God stands for and everything America stands for. America doesn't give a hoot what your skin color is. When that surgeon comes in, you don't care what color he is. You care about what he knows, what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, we're listening to people who are learning something for the first time. If you have not understood what CRT is, may I implore you, if the curriculum of your children's school is teaching this nonsense, get them out of there. Homeschool it, find a Christian school, whatever you have to do, but get them out of there before they're destroyed. This is a message that will destroy America if it's allowed to take hold in a whole generation that's yet to come.
And if you ask them, Jim, there isn't a single teacher in the country that will say they're teaching CRT. They'll deny it, and yet all of their conferences for the last several years have been to say that there is no such thing as equality. We're talking about equity, and that is, since you're a woman, since you're left-handed, since you're Hispanic, you cannot be equal. Therefore, we're going to add points to your score based upon your skin color. We're going to take it away based upon your skin color. That is the critical race theory, and that's what they're practicing, and if you ask them directly up front, they'll deny it, but I promise you that's what is sweeping the nation.
So you have to go to the textbooks. How do you find out what they're doing?
You ask the children. Talk to them all the time. And as an aside, you mentioned my children. One of the things that I told my children when they were growing up, I said, if anybody, look them square in the eye, if anybody ever says to you, do not tell your parents. Are you listening to me? Okay, now, if anybody ever says, do not tell your parents, I want you to perk up and pay perfect attention and remember every word that they say. Because when anybody says that, there's a reason. And you're supposed to come home and tell me exactly what they said and who said it, if you ever hear those words. Now, they tell children all the time. Now, your parents won't agree with this. They came from a different time. Your churches were different in those days, and besides, they were racist, and they tear down all the basics. Ask your children. Talk to them regularly. What happened in school today? Nothing. I understand that. But keep at it. And you get them, and the way you get children to talk is do something. Get involved in doing something, fixing the dinner or rolling or going to the grocery store. Do something, and that's when they'll start talking. And when they talk, then you'll find out what they're up to. And let me just tell you, we are behind the eight ball. The educational system is undoing America brick by brick as we speak. Now, the responsibility is not on our political leaders. The responsibility is on you and me as voters.
Well, Bob, we've been talking about this subject for 2 days now. We're almost out of time, but I would not want to end this program without addressing a specific question to you about America. Everybody's talking about what's wrong with America. Everywhere I look, every time I turn, when I turn on the TV, I hear something that disturbs me about America. What is good about this great nation?
I tell you, it's the blessing to the world.
You're not just saying that we're smarter than everybody else. You're saying there is a system that allowed that enterprise spirit to exist.
It's called freedom. And the freedom comes from God. If freedom is dependent upon an individual, I remember when I take tours on the floor of the Capitol, I take friends, I walk over to the Democrat microphone, and I say that Nancy Pelosi stood here and said, today we are going to create a right for health care. Well, let's just stop and think. If politicians can create a right, what else can they do?
Take it away.
They can take away a right. There's a term for that. It's called tyranny. So our rights do not come from the majority or from the group. They come from God. And that made it such that anybody who could get here, that's why people crawl over cut glass and barbed wire and float in leaky boats just to get here. More Nobel Prize winners have been American than the rest of the world combined. But, Jim, half of those American Nobel Prize winners were not born in America. Now, what happened? When they got here, did they suddenly get smart? No, they got free. Because the spiritual principles of freedom made it such that when that person got, you try to tell me out of 1.4 billion people that are Chinese all these years, there's never been one Thomas Edison, I'll bet you there have been plenty of them. But the lack of freedom takes it away.
Oh, that is so good, Bob. I thank you for what you're standing up for. America is exceptional. Never forget it.
Amen.
Thanks for being our guest.
Jim, thank you.
Well, that was the second and final installment of Dr. Dobson's recent conversation with his friend, the Honorable Bob McEwen, here on Family Talk. You know, Bob is right. We as parents have a responsibility to teach our kids the truth about our nation's history. If we want them to be able to grow up in a free country as we did, we need to teach them about our great heritage, the good along with the not so good. Now, if you missed any part of today's or yesterday's broadcasts, or if you'd like to order a CD copy of the entire conversation, go to drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. While you're there, you can learn more about Bob McEwen and check out the other resources we have there for you. Again, drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. For all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, I'm Roger Marsh, hoping that you'll join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.